storage circuit with a couple of filters and a variac, and you've got a perfect power supply to run that thing. And it should work fine. Because I don't think you're going to have to vary the adjustment. Like I say, you're winding linear coils.
Yes, you're right. I have to check the model number against the graph. I'm going to find what is the friction that is dedicated for that, what is the tension in pounds that is built into the device, and if this one goes for it, why not? I mean, it's less than spending for the tensioner that is the traditional one, but costs much more, and bless you.
Well, for $50, no matter what it is, I'd buy it.
I'm gonna look closer to it. And you can see it's on eBay. Interesting stuff. And people don't really know how eBay is educational with the hundreds of thousands of devices they have. You look at something, and then you try to look at the history, you try to look at the manual, at specs. All it does is all what it does, and then you try to find out what is similar to that. Then you all of a sudden end up with all of the theories about it. Unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, you can go into the theory, the history of it, and the companies and their history, and you can really get involved with that stuff. See, all that kind of stuff, I don't care. I just want to make it work. I don't care how old it is or where it came from. If it works, I use it.
No, I understand that. I'm doing the same. The only thing is that I cannot resist temptation to find out more about. So practically all of the subjects that I'm covering in are the subjects that somehow came to my mind because of being influenced to that. So, remember when we were talking about late and mills and CNCs, and most of the guys in that area, they just buy the device and want this device to work. You know them about it. I mean, it's just different approach, and for sure.
KC2WGB. Oh yeah. Well, that's where you and I differ. When I buy a drill press, as long as it works, I put a drill in it, makes a hole, and it makes it accurately. That's it. I don't care if it was made by Christ.
Oh, yeah. Because there is nothing that will excite us in it. But I can definitely present you a drill press for $400, or I believe it's $499. This drill press will give you a lot of headache to find out how it works. Sort of sensors that I don't understand, a touch bar screen on it. It looks like a table has two tension sensors on it. So when there is no handle, everything is automatic. Can you believe that? I'm very sure.
Oh, definitely. There's no drill press I couldn't figure out how to work. Sure, you don't want to burn out this, so the table would have to have friction, of course.
Yeah, I was looking at it, and it looks like there is no motor to the spindle. At the very bottom, you have something that looks like a motor, but it's a hydraulic motor. Then you have a bunch of pipes and a connectors and all of that electronics, so it looks like a press is a hydraulic press, right? But for this price, it's unbelievable. That's what it is.
Eventually, you're going to have to build a bigger basement. Yep. You know, they had hydraulic drill presses that ran on hydraulic fluid, too.
John, I'm not going to buy it. No, I don't want it. No, it's something that I want to know how to work. I was working when I was young. I was working with the hydraulic presses. I was rebuilding a hydraulic motor by myself, changing the pistons in it, so much stuff. Mechanics was one of the things that I was always good in. So when I look at something, I also look at how it works, how it's made, and what is new in it. But a regular drill press doesn't amaze me at all.
Well, you also have to look at the amount of time you're putting into it and how much you can get done. Either you're going to do history or you're going to do work. So whatever's more important to you, you know, whatever makes you feel good. I'd rather get the work done than really don't care about the history.
And you're right. Well, you cannot even imagine how much progress that I have made for the past week and even today. I spent most of the day in my mechanical shop, and basically the CNC is completely assembled, which was waiting for it for a long period of time. I found all of the screws, I made all of the connections and everything. I mean, electrically it was working a long time ago, but the covers for the waist, for the XY axis, that was still open and never done properly. So, let me just... Okay, so that was done. All I have right now left is just this big, heavy chunk of metal that is kind of fluid fence around the machine, like a cage. Now, it was lying around for close to a year, and the machine was not used, although it's not going to be heavy use ever, but I found it, again, Chinese crap, that the paint is peeling just for this stuff lying around, and I see the rusted metal underneath of it. So I have to take it to the friend of mine that is next door and just paint it again. Unbelievable. I'm telling you, I'm so fed up with this Chinese junk. Enter a ship.
No, Chinese junk is a ship. This is Chinese garbage.
It's a while.
Ernie, good evening. Oh, good morning, I should say.
Get what you pay for, gentlemen. You know, you can buy stuff from... I'll take Singapore as an example. You can buy stuff from Singapore that's junk. Singapore that's high precision. It's all a matter of what it was manufactured to and what was the specification the actor decided to make it.
I have a little problem with that because when I buy Starrett or some of the American-made measuring instruments and I buy all those Matoi views of Kobashi Marus and all of the quality's just not there and they're expensive.
Is it Matoya? You don't like those?
I have a couple of them, and I found they're too sloppy, too much backlash in them. Yeah.
Well, we're outside of my realm. We'll have to get Charlie Gallo or one of those guys that are, that if I'm saying it's material, we'll bring the product. But, I'll take a third any day of the week.
What you can do is try to make repetitive measurements, like 10 times, and you wind up getting, like, 5 different answers, basically. It's accurate. It's close. Not like a Starrett. You clamp that Starrett, run it up, you get the same answer almost every time.
Promise you give me a Starrett, I'll measure 5 times to get 5 different measurements.
Well, gentlemen, yes, you get what you pay for. What I have noticed is I have a device that are from Second World War. American made. Beauty. And machinery, coil winders, let's say, or lathes, or mills, American made, 40 years old, are sold at the price of new Chinese or Taiwanese devices offered for sale. That must say something. You know, I believe that the American quality is unbeatable. I swear to you.
Hey, well, Bernie, a friend of mine has a DeWalt radio arm saw from 1952, somewhere around there. That thing has to weigh 600 pounds. It's a commercial one. You look at the ones that are made today, they're all plastic junk.
Wes, are you Polish by nationality?
Yeah, I was born in Poland, right. I'm Polish too.
Do you know of a company, the product sell here is the name Bison. Do you know that company from Poland?
How do you spell it?
B-I-S-O-N, I believe. I believe it's spelled the same as the Buffalo.
Yeah, it was a very good company. Extremely good product. Good quality. But the Polish stuff is expensive. Even now, if you want to buy the used 4 years old one, it's at the top notch price of the used machinery, even American one. But Bison is no longer Polish. So I wouldn't expect a great price right now.
Well, I'm just making the point that I bought a keyless drill press truck from them probably 10, 15 years ago. Wonderful product. This was, when the Polish companies first started making inroads into the U.S. market. And at the time, Bison made high-precision products, and there were other companies that made basically sledgehammers. And, I did not expect the sledgehammer company to make me a keyless truck that was going to work. By the same turn, I didn't expect Bison to be sending me sledgehammers. So, the point is that you get what you pay for, and we as a consumer want cheaper things, but we have to remember that when we get less, somehow or the other.
Oh, I agree with that 100%. 100%. And a lot of stuff that's made in Europe, especially in Germany, excellent products, still to this day. But you're right, they're expensive.
Indeed, because somebody wants to be competitive, but at the same time, you don't expect that you're going to get a complete garbage. It's not even a junk, it's a garbage that you get. And that's the problem with many of Chinese products that I have noticed. As far as I can jump. Okay, interesting. As far as the cost of Polish machinery, I was cruising on eBay, and whenever I see something that was made in Poland, it's probably twice more expensive than competitive American product. It's not because it's better, because it's rare. It's something that let's say, a Dekel company, which is a German company, makes the machinery. It's expensive. So basically people buy it for the Swiss precision. Now, Poland was communist, but Poland was next to the border of Germany. And the cost of making a lathe was probably 7% of the price that they asked for. And they were still twice less expensive than American products. That's why they have made all of this sales. But it was European thinking, and it was European tradition. And most of these businesses were just taken by the communists for the private hands. So the workforce was there, and the generation working in the future.
I just took Poland as an example. We could make this example with many different companies. I've worked on products made out of Korea. Some of them were absolute junk, and some of them were quite good. The cylinders had to specify over and over and over again the quality standards we wanted. And we literally would ship pallet loads of stuff back saying, here's the specs that you need, or here's the bed, we're going to take it. To the point that we would literally send inspectors over there, basically to their factory, and say, we're going to inspect them before you put them on the boat, because we're not going to pay for their shipping on them. Now, if you want to, we complain about Chinese manufacturers not being up to standards. We'll talk about really bad. Try to get some stuff made out of India.
It's a very interesting point that you picked up, and I want to respond to that. But the thing is that China for most of the countries from this region, they have no tradition, and when you make a junk as a national standard, then it's very difficult to find somebody who would likely invest his own money without being worried that he's going to get another chance. But what was with the Russia and Poland and most of the former Soviet Union lager, they have had a tradition. The tradition came from the time before the communists. They didn't have to think how to do things. They just had to follow things. And because they were trying to find out a way to sell their products to the American market or any Western market, they had to keep the quality. So that there is a big difference between something that came from out of nothing, and now you have to fight for the name where you already damaged the name, or something that was just continuation, only in different conditions.
Oh, I would agree with you completely. That for us to expect a Chinese product to be of quality is foolish on our part, not on their part. It's foolish for us to believe that they can instantly have moved forward and be able to make that such a huge thing. If you look at name a single Japanese military, I'm sorry, a single Chinese military product which has come out of China and that they have been renowned for. Name a Chinese tank. Name a Chinese aircraft. I can tell you the Chinese rifle they stole from the Russians. Kalashnikov hates the Chinese because that's his rifle they took. So the Chinese have no history of being able to find machining. So for to buy a product from them and expect to find machining is foolish on our part.
Yeah, point well taken. Yes, it is. I was raised in Europe where Swiss standard was something that was like a regular dinner. It was nothing special. It was something that we could sell. It was at the same quality or even better quality. Russia had a extremely heavy machinery or extremely heavy technology, but they had extremely good stuff. And this stuff is being used for now, you know. China? I was learning how Japanese get to the standard and quality. And the simple answer is, they were buying licenses, they were buying technology. I don't believe the Chinese bought many of the technology. What they did is, I spoke to one of the Chinese engineers, he said, we're just waiting till something is out of the patent protection, and then we take it and we convert it in our standard and we sell it immediately.
T2WGB. Well, I agree with you, Bernie, because from what I understand, Boeing has a plant in China, so they are capable of doing quality work when the specifications are held in a rigid manner. So you're right, and when you want to buy that plane and pay peanuts for it, I wouldn't want to ride on it. So Boeing's paying probably very well and supervising, but they are doing good work.
And also, please, anybody that's listening, I do not think that a Chinese citizen in the U.S. will an American citizen versus a Polish citizen versus anybody else. If you want to understand the story itself, or given a percentage points up or down, the population in one country, not apparently any better than the population in another country, I will give you the fact that the population of China is much more than us. So if we have X percentage of our people, let's say roughly half of our population is above average intelligence, by definition, because the other half isn't. So if we have 300 million people, there's 150 million Americans that are above average intelligence. China has, I don't know, billions? I don't know the exact number, but it's a lot more than ours. So they've got a lot more smart people over the next 20 days. They are going to get good at it. So Boeing being an example, Boeing hired when they're there, said let's build airplanes and let us pick people. Here's what skill sets they have to have, and then we'll train them how to do it. So the Chinese people, just the fact that as a society they have done this a lot.
I agree with you. You're completely right. The thing is that you cannot create something out of nothing. Human being is equal, and there is no difference in population other than what was in the past. Something has to start from the beginning of, it needs the time to get to the motion. John?
KZ2WQ. Yeah, Bernie, I read that book. In fact, it's still on my library shelf. The Bell Curve. Boy, he got in a lot of trouble with that book, too. Interesting. But, yeah, I don't hold any nation as, high or low. It's just a question of where they are in development. Of course they have talent. But if they don't have resources or they don't have somebody guiding them, they're going to go nowhere. But eventually, it's going to be the same all over the world, without a doubt.
Unfortunately, the people that complained about the bell curve were the people that held the history. And you can't complain about the numbers are the numbers. If you don't like them, don't read them. But if you're trying to measure the numbers, that's what the numbers are. And Hobson did not create that many, or didn't create that many hypotheses off of their numbers. They just reported the numbers. A lot of people got upset about the numbers that were reported rather than how to fix those things.
Well, you're absolutely right. If you notice, that book was written in two ways. Clinically, which I didn't understand it clinically, but as a guideline to read and find out where they were going, it's not too hard to follow. I think it was excellently written. Wes?
Yeah, I'm doing it. Well, Japanese decided that in order to educate their nation to the point of the high technology, high art, they want to just pay for everything that comes from outside. Now, Chinese, they were not necessarily doing everything right and not necessarily buying. I don't want to use this strong word. Now, the population is 1.5 billion of people. It takes the time to educate all of them to the point of matching the standards of the Western society.
You're very correct. At the same time, though, once they get educated to the standards of Western society, they will be forced to be reckoned with. So your question is, can they get educated to that level? Especially economics, Brazil has been countries that are going to move from the third world to the second world has been there the last 40 years. And that's not just Brazil, but everybody has projected certain societies that are just going to move over the next 10 years. The majority of the times are wrong.
You're absolutely right, Bernie. Mexico is the same thing. With the corruption that they deal with and the issues they have in their country, they're not being helped by the oligarchy that runs them. And we have one that's dragging us down. So there's going to be a leveling point somewhere. Wes?
Yeah, well, interesting point taken. If we take just that 5% of a typical Western society are the brilliant people, and 3% of them are absolute genius, then we take 3% of the population and we come in almost to the population of the United States with the brilliant people and genius people in China. So we might say, wow, with such potential, they could beat America by the foot. You know what I'm saying? But the problem is that this group of people is inside the ocean of the people less brilliant. And so it's here.
Changing the subject slightly, have either of you ever take detailed notes of the process, put those away for 3 or 4 weeks, and then got them out again, and then mean absolutely nothing, and try to do it again? I'm sitting here looking at some notes to go to work, and I can't make what you said.
Yes, I've done that. My scratch pad. And when I go to translate it into the lab notebook, what the hell was I trying to say? Then some expletives have to be deleted, and I transfer the document. But, yeah, I've been there.
Very much to be typical and very much known. It's a difficult process of advancing yourself to the next level.
Kenny, I got a question for you.
Yep, go.
In software, what is a kernel with a K?
Probably hearing that related to a Linux machine or the operating system. That makes any sense, but I get too detailed into this. The kernel is before the operating system. It follows the part that is necessary.
Is that at the machine level language that it's a kernel, or higher level?
That's an interesting point. Let me think about that for a minute. The other definition of a kernel is usually a southern gentleman who's a little flamboyant and is basically claims that title.
Yeah, I think once you're a kernel for life. Anything above kernel.
No, I'm talking about southern colonels. You don't even have to be in the Army for that. Colonel Parker, the eldest Colonel Parker, I don't think was ever in the Army, let alone a colonel.
I think that rank was given by the governors of the state, if I'm not mistaken. But they were actually, by the state, they were determined to be a colonel. But he may have just assumed the name.
Okay, so you're... Your question about is the kernel written in machine code? The answer is yes, it is. Now, how they created it, they may have written it using the C language, but ultimately it is the machine code. It is the lowest. It's the lowest level of the operating system. It is not the code that is burned inside of the, not the the code that the, well, the op code that the CPA internally, but it is the instruction. Dump the memory of the kernel and break the CPU and it creates one of the instructions. So think of it as it is the basic core of the operating system.
Is the kernel part of the script that operates, say, the UART system?
I would generally say no. That UART is an I/O function and that I/O is not. It's not typically part of the kernel, but we're trying to leave this at a generic level. At a generic level, I would say no, that the kernel of the operating system and the fundamental operations of it, I/O is an added to that.
Okay, that's good enough. Wes?
I was just looking to you and showing something that I never asked for, but thank you for the information.
I think I strained something thinking about that. John?
I do that all the time. And then I'll take a sip of cognac and puff on my cigar. Relieve the pain.
That is a unique possibility. I've got an interesting book I'm reading on wavelet forms. It's legally theoretical math, but it's also what different ideas and stuff.
Uh-huh.
John, it may become applicable to what you did with Cousins. I just kind of stumbled across the one with the traveling professor who was at East Point College. I'm on the email list. And it's been going on. And I contacted her and we spoke to her a little bit about it. And it looks like we're experiencing everything. If you remember what a Fourier series is, taking a data stream and then converting it with a Fourier series, this is basically extension beyond that, which is the core of what a lot of wave processing is today, file compression, audio compression, that kind of thing.
PC2WGB. I thought it was just a question of taking the analog signal and processing it into digital information so that the computer could handle it. I don't know how involved that is, but I thought that was just like a plug-and-play item.
Well, that's what it is. Basically, the A to D process, you have a sample rate that they want in. Or take 16,000 samples a second. Each one of those samples is the value between 0 and, say, 255 samples. And each one of those is the value between 0 and 255, and there's 16,000 of them for a sample that we record. That's the raw audio coming in, and that's much of what a standard WAV file is. What WAVLIT is now takes that data and allows you press it, manipulate it, identify functions in it. Basically, how you take those 16,000 samples, and that's not a lot. The audio is 44,000 samples, or I'm sorry, a second. How do you take that environment data and then analyze it?
That's amazing that with all of that interpolation that goes on with those waveforms, that you can recreate your original waveform when you go to your final product. And do it with accuracy. I wish I understood more about that, but I know it's done, and it's very reliable. And the best part is the noise immunity and the parity that you can use to make sure you're not losing any data. I find that fascinating, well beyond my capabilities.
There's an iPhone app out. It's just amazing. You run this app, you hold your iPhone up against the speaker on your car radio, and it tells you what song to play.
Well, I guess eventually that you could hold that up to your telephone and it would tell you who you're talking to.
Ooh.
That sounds good.
That already exists. 15 years ago when I worked in the recording business for identification.
15 years ago, voice recognition, and it was accurate?
Not voice recognition, speaker identification. Law enforcement environment. You've got a wiretap to record me, but if my wife picks up the phone, record her. And what it would do is, at that time, we could only pick out, but they would train it for what we were looking for. And the information was whether we record the call or not.
Wow, fantastic. So I guess that goes along with stress recognition software, which basically does the same thing with speech. But so it would know that particular person and anything else that came in, whether it's pitch change or whatever, it would just negate that? Amazing.
Yeah, it was pretty wild stuff. I don't know how it's progressed and if they've ever gotten it to the point where they can take a sample and bang it against the database. Here's a voice, now there's a database with it. I don't think they can do that, but I don't know. I haven't been able to.
Yeah, you probably need a Cray computer to do it. Wesley, go ahead.
You guys continue. I'm just listening to the interesting the conversation.
Actually, I think I'm going to pack it in tonight. I've got to be in, got to get to Colonial Queens at a reasonable hour tomorrow. Well, if they west, I'll be, if they go by your house, I'll wave. I'm not quite going by your part of Queens, but I'll be in Queens, so conceptually I'll be in your neighborhood west.
Okay, welcome anytime. Tomorrow I'm going to be probably working again. Anyhow, Bernie, thank you very much for participation in the TechNet and for your comments. Enter your ship.
Well, Wes, have a wonderful evening. It's always a pleasure to speak with you. I know I get gruff with you at times, and you get gruff with me, and that's part of what being friends is. We can speak openly, and we can address what we feel at the moment, and then we can get over it. Just move on. So 73's left. John, 73, have a great evening. Speak to Wes.
73, have a great morning. Enjoy. Casey, 2WQB.
73,000, have a good night. John, so basically the CNC is intact. I have to page all of this. How do you call that cage? The cage, so all of the fluid is doesn't splash around. How do you call that?
The catch basin. that goes under the machine to catch the dripping oil and stuff like that. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
Yeah, you know, you may have to sand that pretty good. If it has a lot of oil on it, the paint's going to have trouble sticking. You don't want it to come off again, or maybe sandblast it.
No, I don't have a sandblasting machinery. Apart from that, it would not fit inside the cabin, if there is any. And if I do it by the pressure in open air, it's going to be a lot of dust. No, I don't have that. I will send it. I have a rotary sander. It's a kind of, again, a Home Depot device, but it does have a special disc, and it's mostly used to remove the paint. That's what was the primary application. It works good. Not made in China.
Yeah, it sounds like it'll do the job. Either the rotary or the belt sanders, either one of them will do it. Even good wire brushes, you can put them on your electric drill and use that. Probably take you 10 minutes to strip it up. And then wash it with a little lacquer thinners or something to get all the oil off, and you'll be all set.
Yeah, I'm going to look tomorrow at for the guy if he's nearby and ask him to just spray it. Pretty much interesting job. I mean, you're doing simple things. I found that within 1 year that I had this machinery already, and when I was doing all of this cleanup, some parts were missing, some screws were missing, but I was able just to dig for screws that are similar to that, and all of them are metric, so the inches doesn't work. And I remember I bought in Harbor Freight the topping, the rods, and I don't have the wording in this area, so I could make a thread. So I was drilling inside that and making everything American way. All of the wires, all of the cables that are from XY, they are movable. It has to be strapped because we're not originally strapped properly. We're hanging and being dragged by the movement of the table, so, you know, sort of this stuff.
Okay, yeah, they're called taps. There's taps and there's guys. Guys are the ones you cut the threads on, like a piece of rod. Tap is when you do the hole. They got bottom taps, clearance taps. Just got to use plenty of oil.
Right, taps and dice. Thank you very much for increasing the capacity of my vocabulary. Yes, so I have a set for the metric and set for the imperial, and money well spent. Although Harbor Freight mostly Chinese, I don't even know if that was made in China. Anyhow, it worked out as required, maybe because I make one top or one die used per year, so probably that's why this equipment is excellent.
Yeah, the problem is usually they snap, and it's probably because the person doesn't use oil. You know, you use plenty of oil because it's cheap and it saves the taps. Absolutely, same thing with the dies. But why did you change over to SAE? Why didn't you stay with the metric?
Oh, no. I stayed with the metric. I stayed, but I had a part of the screws missing. One plate was also missing from the rear, a small covering the electrical compartment. So I made that one. And the wires were not done the way that it's supposed to be. When you have the movement of the X-axis, the wire was simply dragged by the bottom of the table that the CNC is sitting on it. Then later on it would be all in oil and all of this dirt. So that has to be strapped. And I was playing a lot with cast iron, so I didn't have the problem to adjust the proper speed of the drill bit and use the proper drill bit to drill with it and eventually use the top. And at that point, I was doing this imperial. And the reason for that is because I had to go to the Home Depot and pay extra money for the screws when I had the interior lying around at 3 years.
Oh, okay, I understand. Most of those cover plates and stuff are usually held on with like 8mm screws, so they're pretty common.
Yes, but Chinese, they were using a different kind of screws, depends from the application, what was there. I put everything in motion. Everything works. I need only just to finish up that before 28 and eventually try to learn something in the first time. Maybe I'll be able to get the progress in how to operate that. This is the last machine that I've learned. That medium coil winder that I have, which is absolute beauty, probably 1970, something like that. That must be 1980 because it's a computer driven and doesn't need any additional program, doesn't have a problem, it works like it's good. So, that stuff. Okay, I got. So that stuff is not difficult to learn. The way that somebody designed the grinder is like you don't even have to read the spot book that I have with it, and you can figure out by yourself how to play with it. Yeah, mostly I can start to operate it tomorrow. What I need is just to have a tensioner and have that driving wheel for the wire. That's all that is missing. If I decide to go over here, then I'm going to look for the tape recorder, but from what I have right now, is more than enough for me. And so is it.
Yeah, well, sounds like you've got that project under control, and you'll probably have it running soon. Well, you'll work out something with the tension, I'm sure. I'm waiting for a part from this company, Boomtune. I got a RF voltmeter that I need a part for. They had it stopped, so I hope it comes in tomorrow. I'll be able to finish that meter, be able to work with that again.
Okay, John. It's 1 minute left to the repeater being switched off, so I wish you a very good night, and talk to you tomorrow. Thank you very much for your assistance and your help, my friend. And to take care.
No problem, Wes. Always a pleasure. The repeater's on all night, so it doesn't make any difference. Okay, I'll talk to you on down the log tomorrow. Let you know how I make out. We'll see what you do. KC2WGB.
Oh, John, you say the repeater all night right now in Sunday? It's all...
Yeah. All the Sundays I've known, it goes off at 12 o'clock, the technet's over. Then it comes back on, and it's on for the rest of the night, from what I understand.
Okay, no. I'm going to go to bed. But I'm very satisfied with what I'm doing. I can move right now over there. I can see whatever I want to find. And everything is like in order. All of the tools. I don't have to be worried where it's something. So, yeah. Anyhow, good night, my friend. And thank you.
Good night, Wes. Talk to you on down the log tomorrow. KC2WGB.
Good morning. The time is 1:10 a.m. W2VL repeater system. The time is 1:40 a.m. Welcome to the W2VL repeater. Good morning. Net tonight at 8:30. This is the W2L amateur radio repeater system. The time is 2:35 a.m. WQZL repeater system. Welcome to the WQZL repeater. Good morning. The time is 2:45 a.m.
Amateur radio newsline report number 1000. Amateur radio newsline report number 1810 with a release date of Friday, April 12, all in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QS. Newsline report number 1810. The following is a QSC. Released by a ham in Germany, highlights various radars. Thank you. Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 1810 with a release date of Friday, April 20th, 2012, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. An error has occurred. A severe error has occurred. Please inform your node operator of error code.
Activity timeout.
COS lockup detect. COS lockup detect.
RC2N repeater controller V5.2846. The time is 3:28 a.m. The time is 3:28 a.m.
The sun shows its might again as a major eruption hits the northeast limb. Amateur radio responds to tornado devastation in the central U.S. Scouting gets its own IRLP topic channel, and Riley is coming to CQ Magazine. Find out the details on amateur radio.
Welcome to the W2VL repeater. The time is 3:28 a.m.
Zero. Zero.
Hello, this is Linus Tormos, and I pronounce Linux as Linux.
Welcome to the Long Island Mobile Amateur Radio Club repeater system, code number 9126 on the New England reflector.
Link active.
Reflector number one in Toronto.
Aloha, e komo mai. You have connected to the Western Reflector, 925 Channel 4, the Hawaii Pacific Channel.
The time is 3:33 a.m. Good morning. The time is 3:30 a.m. This is the W2VL Amateur Radio Repeater System. Next tonight at 8:30, W2VL Repeater System.
And to let it you.
The time is 4:10 a.m. Welcome to the W2VL repeater. Good morning. The time is 4:45 a.m. This is the W2VL amateur radio repeater system. W2VL repeater system. Good morning. The time is 4:56 a.m. Good morning. The time is 5 a.m. Next tonight at 8:30. Welcome to the W2VL repeater. Good morning. This is
Ed out here. Zero in the Bravo Lima out here in Colorado. Stand by me.
The time is 5:45 a.m. W2VL repeater system. Good morning. Next tonight at 8:30, welcome to the W2VL repeater. The time is 6:19 a.m. This is the W2VL amateur radio repeater system.
KC2KKX.
The time is 6:30 a.m. Good morning. Welcome to the WQCL repeater. The time is 6:40 a.m. This is the WQCL amateur radio repeater system. Good morning.
N2UZD listening. N2UZD, KC2KKX.
Good morning, Peter. Did you have a nice weekend?
Oh, very good. I feel like the fog cutter today. And we're just squeezing our way through the blowdown near the RFK Bridge.
Okay, very good. Weird. I usually take the upper level on the GW bridge. This morning I felt like, let me try the lower level. And then I hear on the radio after I go over that there was an accident on the upper level and there's 20-minute backup. Now I'm taking another alternate route. I'm on the ramp going down to the West Side Highway because my first stop this morning, first couple of hours, I'm going to be in Lower Manhattan. So I can go either West Side or East Side, go where I'm going. So it's just a change of pace. Back to you.
Yeah, well, you know, I think the West Side Highway is probably a good choice, particularly if you're going to Lower Manhattan. You don't have to go through the squeeze here, and hopefully you'll be fine. Anyway, how was your weekend? I didn't get much time to be on the radio, but got the usual honeydews done, and one more lacrosse game to go, and that'll be it.
Okay, very good. I ended up having to go into work most of the day yesterday, but before I went in the morning, I turned on one of the HF radios, and I didn't see anything on 10 meters, and I went to 20 meters, and there was some kind of net out of Florida, so I made a brief contact, and so that was nice. Nice to make a 1,400-mile contact. You know, if it was brief. And then I had to go into work. So that was it. Back to you.
Well, at least you know your equipment's working. And I was doing some work in the afternoon, and when I was on the computer, I would just every once in a while look at the propagation, and yesterday afternoon, 20 meters looked pretty good. So if you had more time, I'm sure you would have gone beyond the domestic shores. Anyway, we're about to touch the FDR now.
Yeah, undoubtedly I would have. Interesting. The guy said my signal is on. That my audio was on the low side, but that I was very readable. Oh, it could be I was